It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Yeah, about a half an hour late. My apologies, but it seemed like better to start a half hour late than completely miss a program, especially being as how it's Moran Monday, and, well, we have Morans. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. One of these days, we'll be back with HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. It's just going to take, well, just takes time and effort and things I don't know how to do. That's neither here nor there. It's a brand new broadcast week. It is the ninth day of July 2018, and, well, you're here, and I'm here, and I'm happy about it. I apologize for the tardiness, but if you'd like to be part of the madcap, merry, zany, wacky, screwball, multimedia, real-time extravaganza that takes place during the hours in which this program is live, run on over to headon.live. Click chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and if you do, you will be immediately welcomed and greeted by the likes of Anatole and Silent R. Lamar and Malin and Squeaky and VT Blom, and of course by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a Spacing Guild master, has in fact folded space to become both Sparky and Man Cave. You'll also be moderated by pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Okie doke. Try it. It's fun. Oh, let's see. So we've got thank yous to send out. Yes, we do. Thank you very kindly to Dr. Allen in Texas, partial sponsor of the program, as is Reed in California. Thank you both very, very kindly. Thanks very much to our buddy Rusty. Thank you, Rusty. Thank you very kindly indeed. We closed the program on Friday with a $440 fundraising deficit. Rusty took it down to $340. Thank you very, very, very kindly. It means a great deal. Let's see, we also have... we have subscribers on the 8th of the month as well. That's yesterday. Thank you very kindly to partial sponsor Nancy in Virginia. And thank you very, very kindly to Marcia in Oregon. Thank you, Marcia, for being a partial sponsor of everything that goes on here. Thank you very kindly to Dwayne in Pennsylvania. Thank you, Dwayne. And thank you to Tom in Pennsylvania. Thank you so very much indeed, as well as to our buddy Ron. Thank you, Ron. And that brings us to this morning when we have two subscribers. Thank you very kindly to Kathleen in Minnesota, and thanks an awful lot to our old buddy Khalil down in Texas. Thank you, everyone, each and every one who participates in the subscription program. Takes about a quarter of the fundraising out of the, well, set it and forget it, and don't have to sweat it. And that's mighty helpful indeed. And let's see, thanks also to Joseph. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you very, very kindly Sometimes I have addresses, sometimes I don't. But thank you. Thank you very much indeed for helping keep the program on the air. Now, what does that mean for us? That means that the fundraising goal this evening is $540. Because we finished the week down 440. Rusty knocked it down by 100. And there, so here we are, $540 to go to draw even on the ninth day of July 2018. Okay? I mean, that's just... it's just where it is. And if we can raise it, we can raise it. And if we won't, well, you know, the program will stay on the air as long as we can. That's the way it's been for the last 15 years or so. So do our best. If you'd like to help out, the PayPal button is over at headon.live. And that's how we keep it all going, keep all the plates spinning on all the sticks. Let's see. Several different directions we could possibly go in, but at the top of the program, I want to offer praise. On Election Day, 2018, namely in November, one of my favorite merchants, and a company with a tremendous a tremendous reputation for environmental stewardship and environmental advocacy, Patagonia, Patagonia.com, and you can find their stuff in their stores too. They've got retail outlets all over the country and all over the world. But in the United States of America, on Election Day 2016. Patagonia is going to be closed. You won't be able to shop at Patagonia on that Tuesday in November. No, because Patagonia wants to make sure that every one of its employees has every opportunity to go and cast a vote and participate in self-governance. So if you're looking for a reason to support a particular merchant or whatever, consider, and this again, this is an unpaid product placement. I don't get paid for any of this. They're worth your consideration. Let's just put it that way. So congratulations and thank you to Patagonia for getting it right. They also closed on Election Day 2016 too. They had a campaign going on back then called Vote Our Planet. And they're also leading in the fight against the Trump regime, as the orangutan seeks... See, I told you I was going to hang on to that. As the orangutan seeks to destroy two wild and beautiful... You know, wild and wonderful isn't just for West Virginia. Two wild and wonderful places in the American West, namely the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument and the Bears Ears National Monument. And apparently there's a... the desire to start blasting and mining runs very, very intensely out that way. But, yeah, thanks to Patagonia for getting it right and consistently getting it right. They're worth your business. If you're like me and you consider consumer acts to also be acts of conscience. So we've got that. What else do we have? Well, it's Moran Monday, and I like the shilly shallying and the hoopla that goes with it. So let's do it right.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Yes, indeed, the dulcet tones of the Calliope tell us all that it's time for Moran Monday on the Horn. Yep, wander right over here off the Carnival Midway, just a few short steps, friends and neighbors, where we've got the thin cybernetic veil of canvas hung and ready for your entry. The Moran Monday tent welcomes you. shocks you, surprises you, angers you, terrifies you, horrifies you, but it's all right here just for you. Yes, indeed, we've got them all inside there, friends and neighbors, aunts and uncles, mothers and dads, brothers and sisters, kitties and cousins. We've got them all, birchers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, booger eaters, trumpensies, maggots, libertarians, republicans, all waiting for you to stare at them in amazed, stunned, horrified wonder. Yes. Moran Monday on the Horn brings you each and every sort of Moran under the sun, and does it for those who care to subscribe to the program for less than 16 cents per hour of programming. That's less than the cost per day, per program, less than the cost of half a McDonald's hamburger, or less than a tenth of the cost. A tenth of the cost of one of those fried from frozen corn dogs down on the Midway. So quit wandering around over there throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in a desperate attempt to win yourself a little bitty baby iguana, and come on over to the Moran Monday tent. You can't tell the programs, you can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. A quick warning does go out that, in point of fact, people entering the Moran Monday tent should be aware of and keep a close hand on watches, wallets, purses, children, small pets, even the iguana you may have won throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls over on the Midway, and also European-style messenger bags. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. I'm not kidding. You will be. It's not a joke. We save some of the loopiest, looniest, craziest, nuttiest stories in any given week for Monday, and they tend to pile up over the weekend because of the Sunday programs and whatnot. And so, as is so often the case, friends and neighbors, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, kitties and cousins, moms and dads, we got them stacked like cordwood today. Oh, we do. We do, we do. And, yeah, we could take the easy route and start talking about Alan Dershowitz, the man who thinks that anyone who ever brought him a cold cup of coffee is a full-on Nazi. He's got that reputation. But that's not where we're going to start. No, we're not going to start there at all. We're going to start, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, etc. We're going to start with a feature for Moran Monday that we might well call White People Behaving Badly. Now, to be fair, at least this individual didn't call 911, but still, it's amply ridiculous. What we have here is one of those cranky old white, I'd give you 1,000-to-1 odds. You know, he's a maggot. And he's upset at a young woman over her clothing here in 2018. It's not unusual that a human being might be wearing, as a sign of solidarity with that neglected and ignored and put upon territory, a shirt bearing the Puerto Rican colors. You know, red, white, and blue, with a single star. And so it was that a woman who was planning a birthday party and a picnic in a park shelter on the seventh day of the month, which was Saturday, found herself being screamed at by an angry old white guy who was mad at her for wearing a Puerto Rico shirt because, well, foreigners. Look, it's Moran Monday. We got to expect this kind of stuff on Moran Monday, right? Let's check in with the audio, shall we? Now, let me advise that even as this is all taking place, there is an officer of the law not 20 feet away who does absolutely nothing.
I'm wearing... Well, first of all, the United States owns Puerto Rico, so we're part of the United States.
We don't own Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is what? Are you educated?
I'm your officer.
We don't own Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is what? You educated? Fine question for him to be asking insofar as he thinks. Puerto Rico is, of course, a territory of the United States, so own is not an inappropriate word to use there, because Puerto Rico does not have full statehood and thus does not have full vested rights to participate in what passes for and is frequently referred to and bandied about and brooded about these days as our democracy. Not that we're particularly good at it.
Why does...
We protect Puerto Rico.
Okay.
We don't own Puerto Rico.
Okay.
The United States of America. So what's your point now?
What's your point, sir?
My point is, why are you wearing that?
Because I can. Officer, can you please... I'm renting this area, and he's harassing me about the shirt that I'm wearing.
You're not renting any.
I did rent
so
it.
You put a permit.
I have a permit for
your
this.
Permit
right,
to
so
have it.
Can you please step away from me, sir? Can you please step away from me?
Now, the officer is there and witnessing this, and at this point in time, she makes clear that she is in reasonable apprehension of immediately receiving an unconsented to touching of an insulting or provoking nature from cranky old white guy. Who, by the way, and I'm just funny this way. I mean, it comes with the... I mean, I'm not saying I hear things, but I hear things. And what I mean by that is, you've heard his voice now. Does it remind you of anything? Because the minute I heard him, I immediately thought of... Well, of this guy. I think you'll recognize him immediately. I don't even have to tell you his name. But he sounds surprisingly like old Gabby Johnson. At a certain meeting in the old West.
Murdered, crops burned, stores looted, people stampeded, and cattle raped. Now the time has come to act, and act fast. I'm leaving.
He'll get back here, you pass. Can
see what I mean?
Say to winter, there's no way that nobody's gonna leave this town.
Okay, so we're just because we're doing a side-by-side comparison, let's go back for just a second.
I'm wearing...
Okay. Tell me.
Well, first of all, the United States owns Puerto Rico, so we're part of the United States.
We don't own Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is what? Are you educated?
I'm your officer.
It's a private.
Why does
we protect Puerto Rico?
Okay.
We don't own Puerto Rico.
Okay.
So what's your point now?
Well, what's your point, sir?
My point is, why are you wearing that?
Because I can.
Yeah, I know. But the similarity I thought was quite striking, really.
Hell, I was born here, and I was raised here, and dadgummit, I'm gonna die here. And no sidewinding, bushwhacking, hornswoggling, crocker is gonna rattle my biscuit cutter.
No,
Now, who can argue with that?
Rabbit!
I think we're all indebted to Gabby Johnson for clearly stating what needed to be said. I'm particularly glad that these lovely children are here today to hear that speech. Not only was it authentic frontier gibberish, it expressed a courage little seen in this day and age.
Authentic frontier gibberish. Rarer! What?
Officer, can you please... I'm renting this area, and he's harassing me about the shirt that I'm wearing. I did rent it. I have a permit for this. Right, so can you please step away from me, sir? Can you please step away from me?
You're not going to change us. You know that?
I'm not trying to change anyone. No. I'm just trying to come here for a birthday party.
The world's not going to change the United States of America.
The world's... Okay, I think it's fairly clear at this point that old Gabby Johnson here has probably been into the... has probably been into the Keystone Light all day. But they're not going to change America. The world's not going to change America. Why are you wearing a shirt?
But the real story here is the fact that this old fart is capable of anything, God only knows what, gets up in this woman's personal space, and meanwhile, Officer Friendly, whose cruiser is parked by the shelter, who is standing right off to one side, does nothing. Zip, zilch, nada.
Okay.
You should not be wearing that in the United States of America.
Okay.
Are you a citizen?
Yes, I am a citizen.
Are you a United States citizen?
Can you please get away from me?
Then you should not be
Can
wearing
Can you
that.
Please get away from me?
You should be wearing the United States
officer,
of America flag.
Officer,
You should be wearing the United States of America flag. Well, even though the flag code of the, kind of says that you're not supposed to wear American flag gear, clothing, panties, shorts, shirts, bandanas. No, that's disrespecting the flag, according to people like this. That's a trenchant observation there, Asa. Asa says, reminds me of Todd from South Carolina's cranky old white guy voice. That's awfully damn true. Yes, Steve in New York, a member of the Fraternity of Steves, points out, I believe the proper translation of the word educated into Trumpanzee is edumacated. It absolutely is. Are you edumacated? Then why are you wearing this? You a citizen? Then why aren't you wearing American flag shirt clothes?
I do an unpaid product placement for Keystone Light, and of course somebody objects. Here's Marty, into the Keystone Light. I don't think he spends that much money on his beer, but he sounds just a couple of cans short of a full case. No, I think he's one can over the case, sweet Jesus, one can over the case. With all due respect and apologies to Brewer and Shipley.
Feel not highly uncomfortable. Can you please grab him?
Are you an American citizen?
Please, officer.
I'm an American citizen. I would like to know. Is she an American citizen? Why is she wearing that shit?
You know what's amazing? The restraint. Because if somebody did that to a maggot, the person questioning the person for wearing the maggot hat would probably be beaten into a bloody pulp if there were other maggots around. And she's not completely by herself, but notice the fact that she asks time and time and time again for Officer Friendly to please intervene and just make the old coot go away. Which he doesn't. Meaning the police officer doesn't make the old coot go away, and also meaning that the old coot doesn't go away.
As you can see, the police are not even, he's not even grabbing him. Like, he's, this guy's just walking up to me. He basically got in my face, damn near almost touched me. This is what I'm wearing, guys. This is what I'm wearing. That's it. That's it.
I got some really nephews and nieces.
Can you please get away from me?
Can you please get away from me?
Can you please get away from me? Can you please get away from me?
Puerto Rico.
Hey, time out. Did he say, I got some nieces and nephews that'll go down on you? Because I'm having a hard time translating from the original intoxicated. And by the way, this is a public park. The guy's stinking drunk, apparently. And the cop's not even interested in taking him in for public intox. He just watches it all happen. Not even a, hey, buddy, leave her alone. And finally, somebody else that's bringing stuff for the party in the picnic shelter intervenes.
It was an American state.
Hey, buddy.
It is an American
Yes, they are.
State.
They vote for our president.
You should wear.
Hey,
baby girl. Calm down. Get away.
I don't baby girl. You are an American.
I know I am.
I know you're
hey,
part of
calm America. Down.
Officer, I'm renting. I paid for a permit for this area. I do not feel comfortable with him here. Is there anything you can do?
No, we're gone.
Hey, we're not going to sit around and be with you.
Hey, don't you dare walk over here, okay?
That woman.
Okay, well, how come you're saying something when he's going up, but when he was coming up to me, you didn't do anything?
Meanwhile, Officer Friendly walks over and pats the old coot. Calm down. Calm down. But he gets ready to go after the guy who had walked over and told him to shut the fuck up. Oh, he's ready to go after him.
I'm sorry.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm done.
And meanwhile, the cop just stands there. He's witnessed at least two instances of misdemeanor assault. Does nothing.
Come this way.
Does nothing. Yeah, I know. She is. Brother Deacon Asa says she's showing remarkable restraint. If that maggot acted like that around me, I'd stand my ground real quick. It was until I think it was Lee writes in and says, as I recall, wearing the flag is a federal crime, specifically a misdemeanor. Isn't that on the same level as some of the people who crossed the border illegally and got put in prison with their children sent somewhere else? Credit to Samantha B. Yeah. B noted that Trump's anti-immigration henchmen love to point out that they're dealing with a serious crime and that we don't let American criminals hang on to their children in jail. But unlawful entry, she added, is only a federal misdemeanor. On the same list of infractions as using the American flag for advertising purposes, neglecting to answer census questions, taking shellfish from New York Harbor channels, detaining a seaman's clothing, and I swear to Jesus Christ this is real, misusing Smokey Bear. Yeah, but nothing. Bupkis. And the dude's half in the bag, so a debate is probably pointless. Explaining to him that Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States, that it was taken as basically spoils of war after the Spanish-American War, that Puerto Ricans enjoy American citizenship, that any Puerto Rican born in Puerto Rico is as American as, say, Cletus Q. Sisterfister here, born in East, you know, East bumfuck wherever.
And he's littering on top of everything else. Great.
And he still won't leave. Because he's making America great again.
That officer did absolutely nothing. He did absolutely zero. I told him I felt uncomfortable multiple times. You guys were literally here watching this, and he didn't do anything. He did not do anything.
And the cop is still standing there talking with the old coot. And he still won't leave. Ridiculous. I-O-K-I-Y-A-M. It's okay if you're a maggot. Is Steve noting, now we know why so many people have no problem with leaving American citizens in Puerto Rico to suffer, die, and starve after Hurricane Rita. Because, you see, they're not even real Mercans. No, of course not. Well, thank you very kindly, Steve from Georgistan. Got us started this evening. Now we got $530 to go. This is from Cletus, but more importantly, all the laughs. We love you and yours, friend. Use it however you want. Thanks for all that you do, Bob. Laughter is precious. Well, you won't be laughing after you've gotten all polished up with your shiny hiney, Steve. I'm tracking mine's progress across the country. I can't wait. Well, yes, I can. And Agnes gave me a little bit of grief for... Because, I told her, I'll order you one, too. That wasn't the point. But it is. It's white people behaving badly. It's the white people behaving badly edition of More End Monday. We go now to the Sacramento area, where a woman, let's start it this way. A 92-year-old man was out for a walk. And sometimes 92-year-old men can be a little unstable on their pins. But walking's good for people. It's good for 92-year-olds. And he pretty much took that walk around the neighborhood every day. And so he took his walk last week, last Wednesday, on Independence Day. He took his walk around the block. And he bumped into a toddler. Not intentionally. Not with malice aforethought. Not like that old coot. And that's when the toddler's mama hit the 92-year-old man in the face with a brick. And four other men who were with her joined in and gave him a proper stomping once he was down. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. This is sickening. Americans behaving badly. GoFundMe page has been set up for the man. He's a legal U.S. resident. His name is Rodolfo Rodriguez. He's been here for a very long time, and he's been here legally. I'm sure he's worked his ass off and contributed to the economy. And got stomped for bumping into a toddler. We're circling the drain. We're not in a good place. Not at all. And then, of course, the news broke this morning via the Associated Press. Is that the deadline tomorrow for reuniting all the under 5-year-old kidnapped children is going to come and go, and the Trump regime is not going to obey the court's order. Plain and simple. Justice Department lawyer Sarah Fabian confirmed that they wouldn't meet the deadline. She said it was going to be impossible because, well, some of the children's parents have already been deported. Oopsie. One government lawyer was unable to attend the hearing because she had a pre-existing scheduling conflict because she had to dog sit. Take some chutzpah with thousands of kidnapped children squirreled away God knows where to plead, I've got a dog sit, to a federal judge. But she did. Meanwhile, U.S. District Judge Dana Sabraw said both sides have to come back to court tomorrow to update it. Lee Gellert is the lawyer for the American Civil Liberties Union, lead plaintiff in the case. And he said, tomorrow there will hopefully be more than 50 babies and toddlers reunited with their parents, and that's obviously an enormous victory. But the ones who remain separated are in for what he described as a long process. That's 50 children out of over 2,000 who have been kidnapped as a result, a direct and proximate result of a conspiracy to commit crimes against humanity by the actual president of the United States of America. We call him the orangutan now, Donald J. Trump. It was supposedly a 14-day deadline for children under 5, a 30-day deadline for older children. The 30-day deadline occurs on July the 26th. Those kids won't be reunited either, because there was never, ever any intent on the part of the Trump regime to reunite these children. Isn't it astonishing, or maybe it isn't, but it certainly feels like biting into a green persimmon to me, to think about all these maggots and all the little walkaways, more on that maybe, and all the little steiniacs and whatnot who hooted and hollered about Pizzagate. And promoted it. And it's more maggots than anybody else, let's be fair. But I've seen with my own little eyes evidence of some of the purity patrol signing onto this shit too. But isn't it interesting that they got themselves all up in a lather over a fake story of child sexual abuse and child prostitution? Child purloining. And somehow or another, the maggots can't quite get themselves worked up to into anything resembling an uproar over real children who have been kidnapped, who have been victims of crimes against humanity. Isn't that just something? It beats me. Dear God. And of course, there's more. There's always more. One of the women who was sent into indefinite detention was pregnant at the time. You know, she had a precious little fetus inside of her. One of those fetuses, presumably, that the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian fetus fetishists get all tore up about, except when they don't. One woman did make the trip. She was immediately detained by American authorities. She had come from El Salvador in the hope that her child that she wouldn't find her child some morning murdered in the street out in front of her house. They stuffed her into an immigrant detention holding facility in Arizona. And she began to hemorrhage. She begged and begged. She pleaded for medical help. And finally, one of the screws showed up and said, "Well, this isn't a hospital and we're not doctors." And then proceeded to ignore her some more. If you had audio of this and you could play it, you know, in English for the fetus fetishists and the good Christians, maybe they'd care, but I'm sure it was said in Spanish and then translated, so not so much. She said, "I realized I was losing my son. It was his life that I was bleeding out. I was staining everything. I spent 8 days just lying down. I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. I started crying and crying and crying. My soul aches that there are many pregnant women coming who could lose their babies like I did. And they'll do nothing to help them." Well, after there wasn't a precious little fetus to care about, not that they cared much in the first place, they deported her back to El Salvador, where maybe she can wind up in the street with a bullet behind her ear some morning. You know, because the maggots, they're pro-life, aren't they? Sure they are. Sure they are. "Hey, lady, what are we? So what if you got a fetus in you? It ain't an American fetus. And if it don't get born here, it ain't going to be American, so we ain't doctors, and we ain't going to give you no treatment. We're damn sure not going to try to make sure gets born to be American." Yeah, Steve, I know. Steve in New York points out, it's crystal clear, those aren't our children. Meanwhile, I'm in trouble. Ron and Raleigh's hauled out the the gimmick. Bob. How do you know that the 92-year-old in Sacramento wasn't a member of the MS-13? Those Latinos are not to be trusted because they're all murderers and rapists. God almighty. Silent R. Lamar says, white people acting badly. Brother Bob, those people who attacked the old man, do those people think this old man doesn't have family, like young grandkids? And what will they do if these grandkids decide to get back at them? Question, how long do they think the people they attack will turn on them and attack back? But it's kind of like the lady with the Puerto Rico shirt on. She remained civil even as misdemeanor crimes were being committed against her in the presence of an officer of the law. There is a lot more grace, and there is, frankly, a lot more civility to be had among people who have every right in the world to be considerably less civil. Lee in New York says, under the subject line, reconnecting parents with children, fundamentally, the problem is a data problem. Tech is my thing. In a database, the link between one level of data and the next is literally called parent-child. All that needed to happen was a reference ID number for the family. Then, each individual gets the family ID reference on each individual's records. That's how you keep data organized. Well, it absolutely is, Lee. And thank you for the explanation. It absolutely is. If you care about keeping those families together. And the Trump regime never did. Never, ever did. Now, I'm not sure what plans they had for the children. But having them go back to their mommies and daddies wasn't one of them. There was no interest at all. It was an act of simple, naked, raw brutality that Stephen Miller entered into with glee. Oh, and by the way, courtesy of the Washington Post, speaking of morons, courtesy of the Washington Post, we have the heartfelt tale of how uncomfortable it's getting to be for the poor little maggot members of the Trump administration in Washington, D.C. This is the second such article discussing the trials and travails of maggot members of the Trump regime as they go about trying to just live decent, ordinary lives while they do indecent, extraordinarily inhumane, vile things. This particular installment includes an account of poor Stephen Miller. Damn it, I'm trying to work up a tear here. Nope, isn't going to happen. Poor Stephen Miller went to a local sushi joint down near where his apartment is in D.C. and done spent $80 on sushi. Now, in Washington, D.C., that's probably a California roll and a, well, not Stephen Miller. And, maybe the newly named Goebbels roll for Stephen Miller. $80 doesn't buy you a lot of sushi in D.C. But he got it to go, and he paid for it, and it was all, they bagged it up for carryout and everything, because he damn sure wasn't going to sit around and eat there, not after he's been chased out of a Mexican restaurant. And so he takes his to-go, and he walks out of the restaurant and heads down the street. And that's when the bartender walks in. Uh, walks out and hollers, "Hey, Steven!" And Miller turns around, and the bartender raises two middle fingers toward him, and then the news story just says curses at him. I'd like to hope it was a hearty, "Fuck you!" And then Stephen Miller was so upset. Nope, still no tears. That he threw away his $80 worth of sushi. Nope, still no tears. And Damooch, Anthony Scaramucci, jumped up on the cross. He says that people are getting burned out because some people aren't being nice to them after they do hateful, evil, ugly, vile things to innocent citizens and non-citizens. But trying to put a brave face on it, Damooch says, "I think it's a recurring speed bump for the administration. To be part of it, you've got to deal with the incoming of some of this viciousness." How about that viciousness? Standing in the street with two middle fingers raised up and going, "Hey, Steven, fuck you!" That's viciousness. On the other hand, leaving a 4 months pregnant woman in a concentration camp cell while she spontaneously aborts, with no support, no one around her, no help, no medical care, no nothing. Ah, well, you know, that's just all in a day's work. Fuckers. Mm-hmm. Poor Kellyanne Conway has been spoken to in public. A woman telling her she should be ashamed of herself. Well, it's a lovely idea, you know, if she had any ability to feel shame. Note coming in from Robert in Australia. The shining city on the hill with the shit-filled moat around it, Bob. I know, Robert. Subject line, not that hard, coming from James in Illinois. If you put all the parents and all their children in one place, I recommend the White House lawn, they'd sort this out in an afternoon. Fuck a bunch of DNA. Some of these families are not going to match up with DNA. When your neighbor's murdered, you scoop up their kid and head towards safety. Good point, James. Good point. Oh, and by the way, we tag everything. I forget who it was, but I heard someone pointing out that, Walmart, okay, not Walmart, let's say the U.S. Postal Service can track a package from the moment that it is placed into their hands through every part of the shipping process until it winds up in your hands. But the Trump regime couldn't do that with real, live, honest-to-God kidnapped children. Because they did not care. They did not want to. They did not. They wanted that to serve as one of the deterrent effects. We'll take your children away and you'll never see them again. You know the last time we did that sort of thing? I mean, as George Takei pointed out, even with the Japanese internment during World War II, we managed to keep families together. The last time this sort of thing happened was before 1860. I think in terms of a particular example from history, that time when the Jesuit priests of Georgetown University literally sold their slaves down the river. That's what that means. They were running plantations in Maryland that were supporting the fledgling school. And they realized that they could make more money and keep the school afloat longer if they just sold some of their slaves down the river and took the cash. And mothers were separated from children. Fathers were separated from children. Husbands from wives. And they wound up about as far away from Washington, D.C. as you could be and still be in something remotely resembling the United States. They went from Maryland to the brutal, hot, inhospitable environs of the slave plantations of Louisiana. And the closest thing the Jesuits had to getting a case of the feels out of it was to wonder if there was going to be a church that those slaves could go to. Because, you know, they were slaves and everything, but they at least reminded them that they were born in sin and were an offense unto the eyes of God, but that the God that created them would also forgive them for the sin that he made them commit. So they got to go to Mass every now and then and eat a magic cracker. And that's just one example. It was a threat to a recalcitrant slave or a person who didn't perform according to expectations. Old Morris would just say, "I'll sell you down the river." And you'll never see any of your family again. Thereby acknowledging that, yes, family mattered, and yes, they were human, but that they would nonetheless exercise the most brutal form of control. You know, you can almost hear Thomas Jefferson looking at Sally Hemings and saying, "Well, that's all right, Sally, you got a headache." I'm sorry, wrong, that's not the Thomas Jefferson. "I'm sorry, Sally, you've got a headache tonight, you say? Well, that's all right. I can sail you down the river, and you'll never have a headache at Monticello again." At which point, you know, maybe she walked into her windowless room and Thomas went in and had his way with her. Note coming in from Matt in San Francisco. "Now, Bob, stop telling drunk bigots how to blow their tops." Yeah, definite cowbell for the first Bob stop telling of the night. Absolutely. Thank you, Matt. Thank you very kindly. That was lovely. Lee in New York says in regard to Stephen Miller's meal, "Not eating the sushi was a smart move. You never know what's really in that bag. The Trumpansies should follow Trump's example of not eating food that the cook knows who will be eating it." Fugu, Stephen, fugu. Yes. Meanwhile, Silent R. Lamar says, "Trump's America better hope South America never gets a real down-to-earth government in any of the countries there and sues the charges crimes against humanity against the United States. Probably won't happen. Oh, let's see. How about Morans in Florida? Who'd have thunk? Oh, by the way, thank yous to go out here at what would have ordinarily been the halfway mark of the program, but is instead the 1 hour mark of the program because, well, I was late. Thank you very kindly. Very kindly indeed. To our buddy Jack in Shreveport, I can happily announce that that the fundraising goal is now down to $480. God, it would be nice if tomorrow it wasn't $680. It's the kind of thing that makes you wonder if the program's going to last very long. But one hopes. Well, that's true, too. Going back to the top story, Lee in New York says, I disagree that Puerto Ricans are the same as other American citizens. Trump didn't care about Americans on that island. They didn't give the orangutan any electoral votes. Yeah, the difference between the response in Texas and the response on Puerto Rico is rather stark, isn't it? I'm afraid so. And Steve in New York noting, one last thing, a corollary to the orangutan moniker, our new motto, In Simos We Trust, a Planet of the Apes reference. Well played, well played. Keith says, hey, Bob, I listened to Randy Rhodes today, and she's taken to using a name that you came up with. The name Trumpansies has now become a name that she uses regularly. Just wanted you to know. I didn't come up with that one. I got to be honest. That's not mine. Maggots is mine. Julius Geezer is mine. Geezer Disgustus is mine. Tangerine Tiberius is mine. Clementine Caligula is mine. Chlamydia Claudius is Brother Deacon Ace's. Orangutan is Steve's. Mar-a-Lago Mussolini is mine. Trumpansies, I'm trying to remember how I got to Trumpansies, but somebody came up with it. But I've even noticed that maggots, it must have been one of those Peking butterfly kind of synchronicity, infinite monkeys with infinite typewriters kind of things. But I've noticed maggots moving around, and it wasn't moving around before I mentioned it, so that I could tell. Make America great again, Trump supporters. You can, if one of them challenges, you can tell, well, that just means make America great again, Trump supporters. When we all know it means make morons are governing America, Trumpansy scum. Words, as we have found out, have different meanings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Flavio sends along a cartoon. Looks like it comes from the New Yorker. Don't know who did it or where it appeared, but it's awesome. Bunch of children in cages looking up at a flat-screen TV showing the rescue of the boys in the cave in Thailand. Ron and Raleigh says, you heard Jabba the Trump wanted to invade Venezuela when he first took office. I wonder what kind of ginned-up bullshit reason he would have come up with for that bit of adventure. Oh, well, Ron, there won't be any ginning. It's absolutely factual truth. Perhaps I'll turn it that Venezuela is in economic and social chaos, and only by bombing a few million of them can we get them to see the error of their ways and stop being dirty commies. And I'm sure the American oil companies and the CIA have had nothing to do with the destabilization of that country. I mean, after all, it's not like we run around destabilizing Latin American nations. Now, is it? No. And that, too, Glenn pointing out, make America groan again. Make America gag again. Make America grieve again. Yeah. Hey, it's been a while since we've heard from Scary Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Bob, can you hear me on this headset, or do I got to take it off?
No, you're awesome.
Oh, wow. You know, this is a pretty darn good headset. Bob, I've wanted to call you the last 6 weeks. The first thing I wanted to tell you about is I heard Darlene a few weeks ago. I have such a crush on Darlene. Oh, my God. I want to buy her some chocolate in the town of her choice. I'm just going to put that out there.
I'll bet she just heard you.
Lady Bob, I've been wanting to beat people with a brick over this kid thing. I've been pissed off about Trump, about the primaries, but lately I've been stuck in the, you know, you can't let Nazi shit just happen. You got to do some shit. And I don't know what to do.
You're a pluribus unum on that, Jerry, because most of us don't know what to do. Most of us would like to do something, and people who can do something are doing something. There are lawyers who have gone to the various judges in front of whom they work and have said, Your Honor, I just need a general continuance of everything I'm on, because as an officer of the court, I feel morally obliged to go down and provide representation to, you know, the one-year-olds who are having to defend themselves in immigration court. And some of those judges have been more than accommodating and said, okay, I've seen several cases of private practice attorneys going down there and climbing the immigration law learning curve. There are people who are working inside the concentration camps who, because, you know, they try to provide education there, such as it is. And there are people who have English as a second language skills. For those of us who can't do anything on the so-called front lines, Jerry, there's moral support, and there is protest.
Let me give you a little backstory.
Okay.
My dad came to this country in 1950 to pick oranges in Wisconsin. Went to England, found a wife, brought two kids to this country. This immigrant thing is burning under my skin. I am, in fact, the American dream in some parts. And I can't believe, I mean, we got a lot of immigrants. Some of us went left, meaning to Mexico. Some of us went to Canada. And we always laughed at the ones who went to Canada. You know, I got hockey jerseys I'm collecting. I might have to sneak in Canada. I don't know. This is a fucking nightmare.
But the worst part of it, Jerry, is that it's fucking nightmare, but it's not a nightmare. You can piss yourself or silent scream yourself into wakefulness. You know, when you sit there at 3 o'clock in the morning, bolt upright, and the sweat's coming off your head, and you're kind of looking around and making sure that shit wasn't real. We got one chance to wake up from the nightmare, and that's November.
We have senators in Russia. I'm of a tendency to think it's time to start buying assets, so maybe you can trade it for ammunition in a couple of years. God, I wish I was joking about that. There's a scene in The Walking Dead where a guy, one of the main characters a couple of years ago, he finds a bottle of cough medicine, and he gets on an old abandoned trailer, and there's some zombies around him, and he just drinks his cough medicine and pass out, because that's the only respite from the fucking crazy. And it's looking that way. Who does Trump think is behind North Korea shit? It's China. Really? Sure. We're going to take on China because of Trump's dumb? You know, I talked to a Trumpanzee before there were Trumpanzees, and I almost got not arrested, but fired from my job because I got loud about politics at work. They never want you to do that. And I said, you know, we get into war with China. How long do you think we'll last? 3 days? Where are we going to get the replacement parts, you dumb fuck? And he just looked at me.
Well, they don't...
Hey, China, we're in a war with you. Can you sell some shit?
Yeah, they don't process on that level, Jerry. I'm glad you mentioned the North Korea thing, because that's another, I mean, that, God, how can that not be a more end Monday nominee? I was so with it that all I could post on social media was, well, that didn't take long, did it? You know, because they're back to, we're past nuanced policy analysis now, Jerry. We're down to, well, what the fuck did you think? I mean, when the guy who's blowing 0.32 or whatever gets behind the wheel and, you know, luckily just crashes into a telephone pole and doesn't hurt anybody, and you get him out of the car, well, what the fuck did you think was going to happen? I mean, how goddamn gullible are these maggots? Yeah, he's going to make it so we can sleep safe at night and not worry about North Korea.
I'm worried about hurricane season. up last hurricane season. And, you know, I've lived in Florida since 1980. I've never seen a named hurricane in July.
Got two of them right now. What is it? Beryl and Chris.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I've
after...
I've never seen
and,
one in July.
And after Beryl sort of tags the southern end of Puerto Rico and slaps around on Hispaniola a little bit and cruises by maybe that little hook of Cuba and gets into the warm, toasty Gulf and just decides to... Fuck all. It could go anywhere.
It's lost structure, but that's not the problem. It's July. We're supposed to get our panties in a bunch in September, not in July.
Yeah.
So
and Chris
I,
is
I
churning
around.
Yeah, Chris is churning around there off of off North Carolina and Virginia. Yeah. But I mean, you mentioned Puerto Rico. I mean, I can't imagine. One, you know, the fact that we know that there are like, what, 5,000 people who died? That somehow or another we didn't figure, you know, we lose immigrant children at the border, and we don't know how to count brown people, dead brown people in Puerto Rico. It's almost like there's a fucking pattern emerging.
Both of those things, the red line is, I don't care if it's one child, all right? If you know, they got to fix this. Seriously. If it means giving them all citizenship, how about that? Give them all citizenship and go find these kids. We don't, and the new justice they're going to elect, all right? No, I want Senate Democrats to set shit on fire. Pull fire alarms, okay? Toilet paper if they have to. No vote. Stop the government. This is bullshit. Seriously. Don't try to get along, all right? Stop it. Stop it all. Do what they did. They didn't have the majority, and they managed to gum up the works. You know, you should be able to get out of bed for kids. Just thinking.
Oh, I know.
I don't know.
But in a this country is going to be so awash in PTSD that we're not gonna know how to handle it. I mean, I think to a large extent we're already there. But it is not as bad as it can and probably will get. I mean, it's gonna get weird and freaking hairy just between now and November. I mean, you know what? The Senate, the Republican-controlled Senate, the Intel Committee issued a report that the Republicans signed off on the other day that said, "Ah, yeah, Russia definitely screwed with our election. Yep, and they're gonna do it again." And so now you've got this so-called walk-away movement among fake Democrats saying, the Democrats are just too mean and uncivil. And guess what? Over the last 48 hours, it is the single most popular hashtag coming out of the Russian bot farms.
It's dying, actually.
Well, I hope
however,
I hope it is, but the fact that it sure looked like it had legs.
No, it did, but it's dying. I've been thinking about an idea that because I'm trying to stand solutions. We always laugh about, hey, I haven't got my Soros money yet. What would it take to create a PAC that did exactly that? The Republicans got PACs doing whatever the fuck they want. We need a PAC. We need lots of PACs. There needs to be a PAC to support them Parkland kids. Parkland's fucking 20 miles from my house. I saw the helicopter fly over the day it happened. I knew something was really bad because I live in the area. Everything came to a stop before even it hit the news. You just saw just police car after police car after police car after police car. As a man of color, you diagnose the police cars. Are they coming for me? Where are they going? Oh, shit. They're in a rush. So that's still not fixed. The whole thing fucked up from top to bottom. The shit the craziest man on the street corner said 4 years ago is all fucking true. I don't know what to do with it. Back to my idea, though. I've been thinking about a PAC out of Montana based on cryptocurrency, because the government, such as it is right now, they're terrified of cryptocurrency because it's money without debt. It's money that, you know, doesn't support armies doing fuck shit in fucked up places. So I've been thinking about that. There's a law that comes up, and there's, I know there's lawyers who are Hornanistas, that a charity, or where it kicks in that a charity can't make too much money. I don't understand that part about PACs. How much money can you have? I know I'd like to be above 50%.
Well,
what comes in and what goes out.
The beautiful thing about PACs and with dark money is that there's no limit. Over on the White Wing side, where they've got, you know, where they make PACs. There are PAC factories. You can leverage the entire corporate structure of the United States. And if you say things right, man, you get in on the Coke money, and then you're eating high on the hog.
Now, I want a place for pissed off people, because here's, and I'm putting it out to the Hornanista thing, all right? The cool thing about having a digital wallet is you may need to get the hell out of town and gather all your things and put it in your pocket and take a walk. And that's the problem that people in Nazi Germany had. Couldn't get their money out. So if shit goes to bad, there's that too. You hear what I'm saying, Bob?
Well, yeah, I do. My problem with cryptocurrency is that they proliferate like mushrooms after a spring rain. I mean, for God's sakes, there was Dennis Rodman in North Korea.
The pot coin, yeah. Most cryptocurrencies are shit. There's about 20 good ones, and it's a huge space where your libertarians and your fucked up Republican types are trying to take over in it. And I think I'm a bleeding heart liberal. I have been. I knew I was one since I was 5 years old, when I gave a bum a quarter or something like that. When my mom said, "Hey, he's gonna, get beer with it," and I'm like, "Well, you know what?
Maybe he needs a
beer. Maybe that's the best you can do." Yeah, maybe that's the best he can do. And I haven't, I've expanded on that, and there, there's so many little things I'm doing that I can't talk about. But I don't know what to do. This feels like Crispus Attucks. This feels like 1775, man.
It feels
weird.
It feels like that. I mean, it feels like 1933. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of it, but of those seven, God, it's hard not to throw the word treason around with those seven Republicans who went to Russia for the 4th of July. I mean, I'm pretty sure they.
Jesus Christ, on the 4th of July. My God, you can't see the planning here, guys? Wow. Everybody's being, I know you don't like to beat the Bible, and this is a prayer meeting Wednesday thing, but this is playing out like revolutions, formed by a king from the east. Pick one, Un or Putin.
Or.
And that's when the fireworks start.
Or she,
that's where we are. But
oh, no, you can drive yourself to distraction playing that game, Jerry. Because, see, I'm so old, I go back to Hal Lindsey and the first late great Planet Earth, okay? And unfortunately, I was a kid, so I remember a bunch of this shit because my brain cells were unimpaired back then.
Hal Lindsey's a right winger. The shit I'm seeing now, I saw on a bad trip years ago, and it's all true.
Yeah, well, what one of the things, the reason I mentioned it is one of the things he would say is that, well, it's right there in Revelations. It says that they will march across the Tigris, and the kings of the east will march across the Tigris and Euphrates, and it'll be dry land. And then you got the Chinese out there working on the whole Belt and Road thing. And if I'm, if I was working that side of the street, you'd make a fortune. Because they can cross it on dry land now. Back in the 70s, they were talking about dams that could dry up the Tigris and Euphrates, and the armies of Gog and Magog would march across. Oh, see what you did? You got me started.
On the, in Revelation 13, it says the second beast shall give all shall fool the world, cause fire to come down from the sky in the view of all men. My former Seventh-day Adventurer training used to say that American evangelical Christianity is the second beast. Holy shit, if that ain't true right now. Where are all the evangelicals going? You can't put babies in cages, dog. You can't do it.
Oh, yeah.
Where is that? No. Where is the outrage?
Crickets. Crickets. Oh, they're look, and hey, where are, there's, we can play the where are game too. Where are the goddamn Second Amendment freedom protectors? Why aren't they on the border saying you can't kidnap children?
And when they go, you know, well, they shouldn't have broke the law. I'm like, oh my God, there's a whole chapter in the Old Testament that says, do not resist the stranger. Allow them into your towns and your homes. It goes on, and I mean, it's very strange.
Well, I forget which Old Testament book it is that says the sin of Sodom was the fact that they were abusive to strangers.
To strangers. And he also said a bunch of times, do not let me hear the cries of a screaming child.
Well, I mean, Yeshua himself says, anyone who would harm one of these little ones, it would be better that a millstone had been dropped around his neck and he thrown into the sea. But I don't, you know, I don't see Joel goddamned Osteen or Kenneth Copeland putting on their millstones. I mean, can you imagine the size of a millstone it'd take to pull that goddamn Gulf Stream 5 into the ocean?
They're complicit. And, wow, this feels like disco, man, the whole thing.
But going back to the seven Republicans, I just want to touch on that for a minute, Jerry, if that's okay. Because there are details there. I don't know how many of us are aware that it's not just that they went there, but they went there and allowed themselves to be used by state TV. Richard Shelby, who started out his career in Alabama as a Democrat and got elected to the Senate as a conservative Democrat and the logical successor to Howell Heflin, if you recall that man. That Democrat voted more often with Ronald Reagan than Republicans did. But anyway, Richard Shelby then... in the early 90s, went turncoat and became a Republican. He's been a Republican ever since. And, you know, he doesn't make a lot of noise. He doesn't seek the spotlight. He just wants to bring the gravy. Mostly, he just wants to bring the gravy back for Alabama. And he does a passing fair job at it. But he took this trip, and he went on Russian state TV and said, Russia is not our adversary. They are our competitor, just like business.
We need better hackers, man. I need to know what the Russians got on them.
Everything. Everything.
The
they got everything.
I
that's,
need to know. I need video. I need PDF files. I need all that shit because...
Jerry, they got everything that because
sense.
That's the one thing you got to remember. The Russians hacked the RNC and the DNC. You know, even...
I think they went...
Even the orangutan has acknowledged that. They hacked them both. Well, that's the thing. They hacked them both, but they only released the information on the DNC because the RNC was so full of compromat that it was pure gold to them. They got something on every Republican in the United States. And the ones that they don't have data on, they've simply purchased. Any Republican who has taken a goddamn dime from the NRA has taken Russian money. I mean, that's the depth of the perfidy here. And the business with Richard Shelby? Well, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin turned around and did the same damn thing. Whatever, you know, I remember when the Dixie Chicks said in London they were ashamed that George W. Bush was from Texas. And white wingers all over America clutched their pearls and wrang their hands and said, "Politics," and you know, the people on TV, "Oh, that's obviously improper. Politics ends at the water's edge. How dare they criticize the United States in a foreign country?" Fuck all. That's over, I guess.
It's all over. You know what? We knew they were lying all the time, but we tried to keep up appearances. The reason why I say, hey, well, we got to vote in November, are the machines all know? Did they hack the machines? I don't know. Nobody checked anything. Nobody fixed anything. In fact, we pretended it didn't exist until this year. So is it going to be okay?
No.
Other than that, I think I want to – the only thing, other thing I could think of is making calls for the gal in New York.
Yeah.
Making calls for Beto. I'm thinking.
Beto, and as obnoxious as it may seem, what may matter more, and it may gall you to do it, trying to hang on to Bill Nelson's trying to hang on to his Senate seat, isn't he?
Yeah, I hate Bill Nelson, but I'd make calls for Bill Nelson too. Bill Nelson ads just have corrupted my YouTube. Every time I watch a video, I'm like, and that started the PAC thing. I'm going, how much fucking money do these guys have to buy every ad? I mean, that's what we need.
Yeah,
we need to be ruthless and merciless.
And it's targeted to your ISP. I guess, although my knowledge of the technology is limited.
It's not targeted to your ISP. Every social media thing you run, they maintain a personality file that's targeted to that. But it's if you pay enough money, they can override that. See how that works?
Yeah,
and I
don't know. Maybe you could get away with it with a VPN, but I'm not at all certain. I made a mistake though. I said Ron Johnson. I was wrong. It was John Thune of South Dakota. And in fact, when he's a Republican. When he said the Russia and the United States aren't adversaries, we're competitors. It shocked the Russian TV guys so much they said, hey, did you rehearse this with Shelby? And then they played the clip of Shelby saying the same goddamn thing.
They're owned. The only thing we got going for us is a bunch of pissed off millennials. And my firstborn just had a grandbaby. So I'm deeply in... you know, deep in the millennial camp, and I want to see them obviously do well. And with that said, the grandbaby's about 4 weeks now. She'll be 4 weeks this. I saw her for the 4th of July and saw her born. I can't imagine somebody taking her out of my daughter's arms. I'd be burning buildings down. I don't understand how the asylum seekers have been so calm about this everything. I mean, they took their kids hostage, and nobody has a real good. Oh, it's in the Bible. If you didn't want, I mean, we've. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to punch Stephen Miller in the mouth. Seriously, there's not a day that goes by that goes, no, you can't go to.
Can't
Washington
do that. Can't do that. Can't do that. Yep. Can't do that. They can't. They can't. They can't get you for thinking.
I wanted to go to the ICE thing on the 30th, but I said, you know what? The chances of you going to jail for that for 50-50. Because we have detention centers here. I think we got three of them.
Oh, we got them in New York. We got them in Arizona. We got them in Florida. They're in Michigan. And the thing is, I don't know how much has been said about it, Jerry, but it you got to remember that any time that... there are issues related to anything these bastards do. The fact of the matter is there's money to be made.
Of course there is. We can't afford health care. $70 a day.
And there are bullshit organizations out there that are making a damn fortune on this stuff.
That's why you can't hear a peep. I think if nothing else, I think senators should beat their, you know, stop. Yeah, maybe this is a strategy right here. I just thought of one. Instead of the Supreme Court dance that we're going to do, we need to see what's going on in those immigration centers. That's what we need to do.
And it's about as difficult as finding out what was going on in a stalag. in the Second World War.
Then
but
we need to press the point. Every question, everything. No, what's going on with the kids? The Democrats need to get focused on that. I think we can all rally around that. Where's the kids? What's going on with the kids? And don't let it go. Every conversation, every interview, even if you're talking about the book, where are the kids?
Yeah. I mean, but just to give you an idea of the scope here, Jerry, Yahoo did some investigating and found 10 different contracts worth $92 million. That's an average of $9.2 million per contract. And they're just going to 5 vendors. And they started in September 2017, and they run till September 2022. And
that's
one of
the
them,
reason I...
and one of them, Jerry, just because you're in Florida, and maybe it's something you could make a difference about, and that's what we're talking about here. One of them is Comprehensive Health Services Inc. of Florida. They got the vast majority of the contracts because of their expertise in immigrant shelter services. They got $65 million out of the 92. One of them is an emergency shelter in Homestead with 500 UAC beds, unaccompanied alien children. They've been planning this.
I think it's on. I think they've been planning it for more than just children.
But this contract was awarded in February, okay?
Yeah, I think this is more. If you notice that they're starting to mess with all naturalized citizens. I'm a naturalized citizen, so I'm watching this.
Right. There's actually a plan afoot to make it possible to denaturalize naturalized citizens.
Yeah, something we've never done. I think even the Rosenbergs didn't get denaturalized. Am I right? They were still citizens? And that was public enemy number one, the Rosenbergs?
Mm-hmm.
The thing, the original thing I called about, and I was going to film it and send it to you somewhere. And then I was like, no, let's not do that. I was at a train station, and I saw 6 officers that I've never recognized before. They were wearing beige khakis, and they were wearing black bulletproof vests. And I'd like to know, I said, no, that's not Hollywood police. That's not. They were ICE. And they were just slinking around the train station. I was at the downtown Miami train station, ICE again, just slinking around the train station. And I remember old black and white photos where you got people trying to escape the Nazis at a train station and the Nazi soldiers just walking by. And damn it, that wasn't the same feeling. And it sucked. Scared to look, scared that you don't want to look at them. It was.
Oh, and that, yeah, and that's another thing. We need to bear in mind that we couldn't have we'd have open borders if we didn't have ICE. ICE was created in 2003. It's not like it's been around since the FBI.
What's wrong with open borders anyway? It would be so cool if somebody could walk from Mexico and go to Canada and go back. What's so wrong with that? How many meals would they have along the way? My dad was an immigrant. Is there no more American dream?
Well, I think George Carlin would say it's called the American dream because you have to be asleep to believe it.
I've seen people come to this country and make a little life for themselves. If only the premise is you won't have bullets, constantly or somebody trying to burn down your house, and that's enough for them. Fuck all the idealistic shit. That's what I'm talking about. I live in a town of immigrants by a county full of immigrants, where all the racists started leaving in 1990, going, well, the last American to leave, please bring the fag with him. It started right there, English first, and it never went away, because I find Florida is on the forefront of all these little movements, and the fucker lives up in Palm Beach, too, so it's right here.
Yeah, and the stories... I mentioned the woman hemorrhaging in the concentration camp. Somebody got arrested in California trying to deliver clothes and toys for the children. And then there was the lawyer who was simply accompanying her client to a reunification. She got her fucking foot broken. by an ICE or Border Patrol thug when she had every right in the world to be there.
What are we going to do?
Well, that's the question. You know, if you sit down and have a cup of coffee in law school, they'll tell you all these old maxims from equity. Things like equity will not bet against an inside straight. Or the race is not always toward the swift, nor the yada yada, but that's the way equity bets. Well, there's one that says equity will not permit a wrong without a remedy. And I think you really touched on something a few minutes ago, Jerry, when you said that, you know, maybe every one of these people, these parents and these children who have been put in a concentration camp should be given American citizenship. You know, what's the penalty? You know, that's part of the constitutional crisis that we're in now. There is no penalty. There is no accountability. There is no way of holding the Trump regime's feet to the fire. I mean, I at some point in time, based on what we saw over the weekend with Rudy Giuliani out there just losing his mind and chomping his air gum, and I got a feeling if Mueller issues a subpoena, Trump will ignore it, and the Republican Congress won't act, and the judiciary won't act.
Then we shut it down.
And then it's over.
Shut it down.
Then it's over.
Shut it down.
All pretense of civil governance, of constitutional governance, is done. And if I had money to bet with, I'd put a cool Tubman down. Well, not the Tubmans yet. But I'd put a 20 down on Donald Trump ignoring a subpoena. Because it's the same thing about back when the Supreme Court overturned Andrew Jackson's Indian Removal Act. He said John Marshall has made his ruling. Now let him enforce it.
And do we make the president look? We make the president look bad. That's the only thing that works with this fucker. Make him look bad. Riots, protests, strikes. We disrupt the flow, the bread, and the circuses.
Well, you know, it's
our country.
I know you've heard me say it over the years. The revolution will not come until the cable's off.
Well, they're fucking with that now anyway, so we're there. We're there. I'm gonna let somebody else talk. Darlene, love you. Want to buy you coffee or chocolate? Or I'm a vegan, but I'll cook you whatever you want. And love you all, Horn family. Help me on this pack thing. I'm doing it. Need all your help.
All right, well, stay in touch about it, and let's brainstorm a little bit.
We need to brainstorm. We need to turn this.
Because I mean, there are rules, but there are rules that are. But I mean, just to give you an idea how loose it is. Let's say that I really wanted to make a shit ton of money. I could, with no consent whatsoever, I could start Bob for Bernie pack and Bob for Hillary pack, and raise money on both of their backs.
Yes.
And there's nothing they could do about it.
I kind of want to do
a
Batman type.
And the, I mean, where, one of the other beautiful dodges out of it is the fact that you can raise on almost unlimited money, and then do almost nothing with it relative to like politics. You can raise $1 million and pay a $250,000 salary to yourself as the administrator. You can pay another $250,000, and do nothing in terms of campaigns. Roy Moore is a good example. Now he had a pack, and he paid him. I think he paid his wife $1 million out of it. And then runs around the country pleading that he's broke and he needs to raise money for his legal defense because he's getting his ass sued.
I'm going to expose the core of what I think a glitch in the system is. I'm planning to run a business under the PAC that the government is trying to shut down, but because money is speech, I'll be unstoppable. If I can contribute money to all sides, then I can't be stopped. And I can do liberal things, kind of liberal Batman things, as they say.
Batman things. I like that. Well, Jerry, I tell you what, we don't hear from you very often, but I tell you, you always bring your A conversation when we do.
Thank you, Bob. I don't know what I'd do without you, man. You were off the air for 15 minutes. I had to talk to my family. I didn't know what to do.
I don't say that. All right, you take care, Jerry.
You too, Bob.
Bye now. Let's keep it going. By the way, I'm sorry. It just is what it is. We've still got $480 in fundraising to go just to finish up with today. I think I conjured him, or maybe Brother Deacon Asa conjured him earlier. There's Todd in South Carolina. Hey, Todd.
Hey, what's up? There was no conjuring because you were off and I went on to do other things, but Jerry's on point. My God. Jerry, are you there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm here and Jerry's there.
Man, I was just going to listen tonight. I said, I'm not going to call. But, you know, when you hit that ISP thing, I've been thinking about this. If you get, let me go outside because I hear an echo. Hey, hold on.
Be quiet in there. I'm on the phone, okay?
I've been thinking about it for some time. When you say ISP, you know, a lot of our folks have been glossing over the point that people have been, you know, from Eastern Bloc have been hacking and infiltrating databases with the DNC, RNC, and voter registration in many states, right? We all agree on that. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So this is, okay, good. We got that point. All right. Now, look at how we get cable internet now. In my experience, it seems like we don't have a lot of choices anymore. Is that correct?
I got next to none here. I don't know about you.
Next to none. No matter, I've been living a lot of places, Bob. We're around the same age. I'm telling you, no matter where you go, you got no more than, if you have three, you're a millionaire. If you have three, you're like, you know, you're doing very well. If you have three choices. Okay. So we agree on those two facts here. Okay. So now let's not talk about facts. Let's talk about something else just one second. Can we agree that we're dealing with hackers?
Oh, plenty.
Okay, we got that. Okay, so we agree on 4 points. We agree. All right, so let's move on to the next point. All right, we only have, they know voter registration has your name, your address, how you vote. There's a lot of shit on there. Your gender, you know, all that. Now, come on, all that, you know, all this shit's Excel style. All you have to do, you're hackers. It's not that fucking difficult. How difficult could that fucking be? You hack in, alphabetize, street, boom, boom, boom. Oh, they vote. And then we got the gerrymandering. That makes it even easier. Did this? Come on. Am I crazy here? Is that shit looking like what?
No, I don't think. If you're talking about us doing, but if you're talking about it being done to us, yeah, it's child's play.
Yeah.
It's child's play.
That's what I'm talking about.
And there are people, there are organizations out there that track the troll farms, that track the Russian bots, and they're all set to go hog ass wild, and they already are.
That's all. Other stuff, but maybe somebody else will talk. But I'm telling you, I've been thinking. I mean, and when you said that, I was like, well, I'm not the only one that had, because that's just, it's too easy. Come on. And that's how you get into that micro-targeting. See, that's the key to the micro-targeting right there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And you should be aware. Don't feel like, you know, you're losing it or coming unglued or anything like that. I ran across a story a little bit ago saying, and I mean, it was, I can't find it now, but said that, you know, we're potentially facing the end of constitutional governance. And that we're smack dab in the middle of losing constitutional governance. And you know, we're not talking about people who are used to screaming that the sky is falling. But like what I was talking about with Jerry. Something as simple as a subpoena, Mueller issuing a subpoena, and Trump ignoring it.
Right.
Well, at that point in time, he's above the law. And there is little to no way to compel his compliance. Now, if Todd gets a subpoena and you don't show up, they will send a ride for you and a nifty little pair of bracelets for you to wear into court.
Will it be cold?
Because you know, the word subpoena is Latin. It means under penalty. In other words, you come to court, or we're going to impose a penalty that you don't like. But the argument is now the argument has now been made that Donald Trump is not subject to those penalties, and one of the alleged what?
Wait, you said the argument has made. Who the fuck made that silly-ass argument?
Giuliani.
Wait, what the fuck? He's a nut. Come on.
He's a nut. He's also the president's goddamn lawyer, or one of them.
I heard him say that shit.
And one of the four judges that's being considered for the big reveal tonight... is rather famous for his opinion that indicting the president would be disastrous for the country because it would hamstring the president or something, or, you know, I don't know.
I think it goes back to a comment that Ron made last, when last I talked to you. Ron said something about usurping his gun. You know, Ron is wise from whatever I glean. I don't know. We're in trouble. I'm not trying to cut you off.
No, that's okay. I mean, it was John Brennan. I finally found the story. The former director of the CIA, and again, you know, every time I see CIA, I think of the words of John Kennedy. It needs to be broken into a million pieces. But the fact of the matter is, it's Brennan who is saying, and he used the phrase, on the cusp, and then he said, losing the American Constitutional Republic forever.
Oh, shit. What's the dateline on that article?
It's out of Salon by Chauncey DeVega. You can find it. I mean, it's recent.
Okay. Yeah, I like
on the cusp of losing the American Constitutional Republic forever. I'm sorry, Malcolm Nance, not John Brennan. Mm-hmm. But again, former intelligence officer. And it was published at Salon today.
Okay, today. That's what I meant when I said time something. Okay, so. Listen.
But I mean, don't, and I'm not accusing you of doing it, but don't just blow past this idea of the subpoena. Because, you know, Bill Clinton answered a subpoena because the Supreme Court said he had to. And the only reason he did that, and I mean, I'm not trying to, but you'll understand when I get there.
Right.
The only reason he did that is he had a Republican majority House. It was already impeaching his ass. And flout, right. and over in the Senate, flouting a subpoena was the one thing that probably would have gotten a whole bunch of Democrats on board and said, no, can't do that. That's just wrong. That's illegal. That's a high crime and misdemeanor. And he's admitted his guilt by not showing up for the subpoena. Well, guess what? The process has to start with impeachment in the House. And there, and this Republican House will not impeach Donald Trump if Donald Trump says, fuck your subpoena. I'm Donald Trump. This is the guy who said he could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and not lose a vote over it. And the votes don't just mean the hoi polloi maggots out there. It also means votes in Congress, Todd.
I absolutely agree with you, and that's the problem. I absolutely agree with you. These people are insidious, and they're pragmatic, and they have set all the pieces in place. This shit is fucking scary. You see? And like okay, like what you said with Giuliani. Now, he set up the case. He's already putting it out there, the bug in the people's ear. Okay, well, the president can't be subpoenaed. What are you know, he's talking like a crazy drunk guy, but so what? These people won't believe anything anyway. But that's beside the point. I'm not going to get off on the tangent. What I'm saying is that what you're saying about the subpoena, yes, because then it's going to get thrown to the Supreme Court. And this is what I want to know. Do they have to subpoena? In other words, do any of these justices who are associated with this Trump regime, this illegitimate, compromised Trump regime, I don't know. Maybe it's too late now. And you know what? We are. This is the Putin-Trump. This is the Trump-Putin or Putin-Trump regime, however you want to look at it. That's where we are now. It's too late.
I mean, Jesus Christ,
in
a conversation with Putin, Trump referred to his own staff as stupid.
My stupid
staff didn't want me talking to you alone.
You know what? Honest to God, Bob, I was thinking earlier, remember we were joking about the old black and white movie, you know?
Yeah.
The old black and white movie with Frank Sinatra.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. And Angela. Now, see, you know, the Eastern Bloc, they are really, really good at mind manipulation. They are the purveyors of it. They were on the forefront, and they've always been. And it doesn't cost a lot of money. It's very inexpensive. So, you know what? He's met with these. Look what this man. Look what this treasonous, mentally ill fascist has done already. He has met in excess of four times with foreign diplomats and leaders, unattended and unchaperoned. And I mean chaperoned when I say that. Yeah, it's derogatory. Yeah, I mean that shit. Now, he's highly susceptible to suggestion. He's a weak-minded individual. Hypnosis works on some people. All they got to do is give them some more trigger words. There's all kinds of shit they can do to him. They have all these chemicals. There's all kinds of shit they can do. I don't want him coming back over here. Fuck that. If he goes over there to Europe for that meeting, where is it, Brussels?
Helsinki. Yeah, Helsinki in Finland.
Helsinki. I'm sorry. I was thinking it was near The Hague, but he wouldn't do that. Yeah.
Well, no. NATO will meet at The Hague. The meeting with Pootie Poot, otherwise known as the boss, the performance review, is in Helsinki.
Right.
And see, yeah, I heard something earlier today where they said, and there's not even going to be any recordings of what was said between them. And I thought, you simple souls, of course there's going to be a recording. And it'll be a recording that Boss Pootie makes. It's just that we won't have it. It'll be another in his collection of recordings of Donald Trump, you know, alongside the PP tape.
Bob, is middle America this stupid? They don't even know that even at the Rotary meeting, even the simplest thing, you have someone who takes minutes. And then you sign it.
Until little maggot children start getting rounded up, they don't give a fuck. And you know what? If little maggot children start getting rounded up, the other maggots will say, well, those little maggot children must have done something because that's what has to happen in order to make America great again. We are at a level of collaboration and compliance that, you know, it's like Jerry said, it's a nightmare. We can't, I don't think we fully, I don't think we can take all the way in and all the way down to our toenails, Todd, how bad, how desperate it is right now.
You're scaring me. That's all I know.
And you know, just a little something-something to ponder. Between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. on July the 6th, local time, Russia prosecuted attacks on Ukraine at Krymsky, Pivdene, Novoselovka Druha, Avdivka, Krasnorivka, and Vodiane.
Uh-oh.
Those attacks...
On the border region?
Those attacks... Yeah, that's all border. Those attacks all came with armored personnel carriers, grenade launchers, large caliber machine guns, small arms, and at Krasnorivka, a sniper.
Well, they're taking that shit over. That's done. Okay.
You'll notice that we're not saying anything about the Russian war on Ukraine. Just like, you know, there was a quiet agreement to let a certain little fucker with a Charlie Chaplin mustache have the Sudetenland back.
Need some breathing room,
and let him, and let him, and let him roll into Austria and let him roll over Czechoslovakia.
Everyone needs breathing room.
Lebensraum, ja.
I'm not feeling at ease at all. Because you know what? Think about it. This. Was it you? This wall is to keep us in. Did you see that article in the Hill? They're talking about taxes. If you owe some taxes, you can't get out of the country.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You know, this stuff moves fast. Fascism moves fast, and that's part of the recipe. Well.
Now, Lee just sent a note, Todd, saying, subpoena line in the sand. I was thinking about Trump and a subpoena. To me, it comes down to the Secret Service. If the Secret Service denies access to Trump, the subpoena does not matter. If the Secret Service escort him to Mueller, Trump has to go. So who's in charge of the Secret Service? Department of Treasury is where the Secret Service is structurally placed. Their original purpose was to stop counterfeiting paper currency. So the question is, will Steven Mnuchin block the Secret Service from seeing the law enforced?
The node.
Insert lurch moan.
Oh. See?
But see, I disagree a little bit with Lee on that, Todd.
Okay.
Because, you know, the Secret Service, Schmeekret Service. He's got the subpoena, and he says, fuck it, I'm not going. The Secret Service cannot make him go. No one can make him comply. That's what I'm trying to get way down into here.
This is what you've been saying for, as a matter of fact, you've been saying that for at least 8.5 minutes.
I'm sorry. I mean, I don't think people fully understand what I'm getting at.
No, that's what I'm saying. It took me 8.5 minutes for this shit to really fucking. This is so disturbing. Like in other words, we've been cutting ass. And we don't even know it. You're bleeding to death, and we don't even know it. You know how when you get shot, you don't even feel it. You really don't feel it till the shit hurts, till your muscles start to hurt, and you start bleeding out. Because
I mean, just take a moment and think about the president who gets daily briefings that are supposed to be archived and preserved, and he glances at it and tears it into pieces and throws it in the wastebasket. What's a fucker like that gonna do with a subpoena?
fake news.
It's a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt, and I'm not gonna appear on a subpoena for a witch hunt. I won't do it. They can't make me.
You know what? All right, so I went on a rant, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks ago, and it was at the end of the program, and I was like, yeah, we've all been played. You know, they put up Obama against Hillary, you know, when she would lose, and then we got this manipulative, he's just doing what he wants to do. He's compromised. He ain't got nothing to worry about. So you know what? And look at this. You know what? I don't know if you guys covered this because I couldn't. They're fiddling with the internet again. You know, I don't have no cool connection no more. That's done. So what I'm saying is that, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if this is what the end game is. He's trying to crash the dollar. Because look, you know, who benefits? He's trying to crash the dollar. That's what's up with this. Tariff shit.
See, maybe somebody around him has that idea, Todd. But as Charlie Pierce points out, this is a president who doesn't know anything about anything.
Okay, that's
I mean, no offense, my friend, but that's too nuanced. That's too thinky. That's too eggheady for him.
You're right. You're exactly. He doesn't know that he's being used to perform his task.
But at the risk of people going, "Oh fuck, Bob, let it go," I'm still sitting here, and I've got a mental image that I can't get rid of Donald Trump holding a subpoena in his hands, and I'm racking my brain trying to find anyone who could actually make him honor that subpoena. Because, again, one of the four judges who may be announced in the big reveal tonight says you absolutely cannot indict a sitting president. And if you do not have access to criminal process, you have no means whatsoever of compelling compliance with a subpoena issued in a criminal fucking case. I'm yelling at you, and I'm sorry, and I don't mean to be. But
no, you're not.
I want that all the way down on the ground. Anybody in the Horn family community congregation, write to me, email me, tweet me, what the hell ever. Tell me who can compel Donald Trump to honor a subpoena.
You know what you're intimating? You're intimating that by the time this grinds through the legal process, his pick will be on there, and that's that. When it bounces up to them, that's that. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, but no, come on. Let's take it a step further. Let's say that's not how it plays.
Further?
No, we're going to take it a step further. Let's say it goes up and you get a 5-4 majority opinion of the Supreme Court saying, "I'm sorry, Donald, you have to answer the subpoena." What happens when Donald Trump looks at the Supreme Court and says, "Fuck you too"?
Then we're back to
Jackson. Mr. Marshall has made his ruling. Now let him enforce it.
Well, that's where we are.
No, I mean, I'll tell you where we are. I'll tell you where we are, Todd. We're where we were a year and 6 months ago when I patiently tried to explain we are in the middle of a constitutional crisis right now.
Yep.
While all the pampered, powdered panjandrums of the for-profit media, the goddamn pundits and whatnot, are sitting there saying, "Well, you know, if he does this, it'll be a constitutional crisis. If he does that, it'll be a constitutional..." Oh, fuck all of y'all! We're in a constitutional crisis and have been. God damn, we got a man appointing justices who wasn't even legitimately elected president. And I'm not even talking about the popular vote. I'm talking about the manipulation of the vote.
That's another thing. Do they have the right?
No, there's no do-over. There's no do-over.
But no, what I'm saying is that shouldn't they have to recuse themselves but because they were appointed by someone who's been under such investigation?
No, there's no... There's nobody, that's what I was talking about last week. There's nobody who can make a Supreme Court justice recuse him or herself. It is strictly a matter of personal conscience. And if you think conscience is going to get in the way of whoever this next appointee is, and Neil Gorsuch, and no, ain't gonna happen.
Look at Kennedy. You know who else was on the radio today? Was well, I don't want to get off on a tangent. Yeah, I hear you, man. You know, and you know, I know you apologized to me because you thought you were yelling, but you know what, man? 1,000 times I have talked over you, and I really don't mean that. It's just that, you know, to find the conversation and the content so stimulating sometimes, you know, it's very difficult. So if ever I've talked over you, disrespected you, whatever, you know, I want to apologize.
No, you never have. You never have.
Well, okay. I just want to make that clear.
But
okay?
I'm at my wit's end. I mean, I feel like
this is serious shit.
I mean, I kind of need some feedback telling me that people actually understand what it is I'm trying to say here.
I know.
Because communication is sort of my life. And I've just got this terrifying notion that I haven't been plain enough.
Well,
and if he ignores a subpoena, it's over. It's just over.
Is it going to come down to a faction of our government is going to be on the good side, a faction is going to be good on the evil, and maybe what they call, you know, they have some special...
It's not gonna, Todd.
It's
not gonna, Todd. It already has. And the Capitol Police are under the jurisdiction of the Sergeant-at-Arms, and the Sergeant-at-Arms is an employee of the Speaker and of the Majority Leader.
Of the social Darwinist, Eddie Munster. Okay.
Yeah, they're not gonna do shit.
What are we supposed to do?
Well, at that point, if he ignores a subpoena, it's pitchforks and torches time. If you can get people to understand just the gravity of what has just been done, and I don't know if the powdered, pampered, panjandrum pundits will tell the American people how grave it is.
Well, they got it's really good. I mean, this is really, oh my, look at it, pierced us in every way. Media, just this, that. The folks are just, they don't know what's going on. And don't listen to Washington Journal anymore.
Right,
oh,
and you
God.
Know, look, as long as the planes take off and land, you know, as close to on time as they can, as long as the cable stays on, goddamn, I watch all this crazy disinformation rolling out from the Giulianis of the world, and I think, you know, there's nobody with two functioning brain cells to rub together that buys into this bullshit, but there's polling out there now that shows that it's about an even split between people who think it's a witch hunt and people who think he's legitimate. It's like 45-40% with, you know, 13% undecideds, you know, who live under a goddamn rock.
That's why you weren't being glib with the Goebbels reference. And it's not, listen, that has to be respected. Now, I was using a different person, but it's not quite the same. I mean, they morph. The people are different, but Stephen Miller is definitely, you know what he's about. You know, and if you morph Bannon and Miller together, and then we don't know who they're hooked up with in the military. That's the issue. We don't know that.
Well, and
that's
here,
under the iceberg.
Now, if there's any amelioration to be had to my whole nightmare,
I mean, under the water where the iceberg is.
Yeah.
Okay.
If there's any amelioration to be had of the nightmare scenario that I've just ranted on and on about, it's this. It's possible that he might challenge a subpoena, and if it's upheld, then he'd honor it. But the thing is, um,
the Republicans would have to would in the House would have to nudge him toward it. But again, that gets him indicted, or that gets him, or that at least gets him named in the report. But maybe the calculus is, you know, fuck it. Let Mueller write whatever he wants to. The only people that can act on it's the House of Representatives, and they're not gonna.
That's what I think is going to happen. That's how I see it playing out. Yep.
Let them impeach him. Yep. The Senate won't convict.
Yep. It won't mean anything. It's already discrediting. Look. Mueller's discrediting rating is going up, like, every month now. You know, middle America doesn't believe, you know, what he's saying. They're just tired. This is just the right dupe at the right time, but this shit though is concerning. This ain't no fucking joke, man. Do you understand that if this comes into fruition, we're going to be the third world country? We're going to be the McAllidores. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be like work camps here and shit, and we'll be what China used to be.
And of course, all along we've got the trade war cooking now. You've got boatloads
of
sorghum and soybeans just wandering the oceans like the lost fucking Dutchman. You got a very nervous You got a very nervous stock market, and the media will do anything, and the politicians will do anything to try to pat the knee of the markets to keep them from flipping the hell out. So it's probably highly unlikely that. You know, they'd even talk that much about, you know, ignoring a subpoena being the end of civil governance.
I see that this is foremost on your mind right now, and it's really scary to think
about. It's been chewing on me all weekend.
Because that is, you know what, if that shit happened, that is, and I see what you're saying. Fuck that. That's the end of our, that's it.
Yeah,
that's
and I want to draw a distinction here. Because I've had two people raise it now.
What?
And that is Ron in Raleigh's raised it. He says, am I mistaken? Didn't Turd Blossom ignore a congressional subpoena during the Bush regime? I don't remember anything happening to him. And then Alexander just said, remember all those members of Bush's cabinet that were subpoenaed around 2008 or 2009? Nothing ever happened to those trolls either. Those were congressional subpoenas. There is a big
damn
difference.
What about Cheney? What about Dick Cheney? Was that congressional also?
I don't know.
When he wouldn't talk about his energy ties?
That certainly wasn't a criminal case.
Okay.
Mueller will be quasi criminal because he's operating. Insofar as he's operating as an investigator of allegations of criminal conduct. And so it is a criminal investigation. That's why, a civil subpoena, a congressional subpoena, they're a shade difference, but the drop dead is a subpoena in a criminal case.
Right.
Because that comes, you know, that's, I mean, hell, that would be an impeachable offense in and of itself. If we had a Congress that was loyal, and you said, are we going to get to the point where there's some good and some bad? And Todd, we've been there. We're already there. This Republican majority in both houses has proven it from time immemorial. My God, Mitch McConnell proved it when he just crapped all over the Constitution and wouldn't give Merrick Garland a hearing.
Yeah.
See, there are aspects of this that make me think that it's been in the works for a while. It's kind of like talking with Jerry about those kiddie concentration camps. The contract for one of those, the contract was let in February. That means the request for proposal, all the shit that goes in front of that, was going on January 2018, December 2017. August 2017.
Okay. So, wait a minute. I bet you Eric Francis hooked up with that. That's some Blackwater kind of that Cheney outfit. What was that? Brown
Z. Root? Yeah. Oh no. Kellogg Brown and Loot. No.
I was wondering about that. I mean, how do these folks? How do you bid for a contract? Because it's awfully. I heard some reports about that. You know, with these, because it's just expanding. They don't care. They're still defying the court order. And you know, and finally, it took the news 4 days. I don't know, 2 weeks to catch up. Like chain of custody. Do you understand that down here in the South, if somebody sees you take a little puppy away from the mother, they will fucking, like, mob rule will beat your fucking ass?
Yes.
You might get beat the fuck up.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all I'm saying. I mean, we can look at this on a simple Simon level and, you know, on a macro level because, I mean, this still doesn't explain.
Yeah, see,
what is this?
James just pointed out something fairly important. If the Brett Kavanaugh theory holds and you can't indict a sitting president, you can't enforce that subpoena. You can't charge him with a crime until he's out of office. Now, protecting him against being prosecuted will serve as a powerful motivator for maggots and Republicans who might just... And see, that's looking backwards. You know, that was part of Obama saying, well, we have to look forward and not back, and we can't prosecute these goddamn war crimes against the innocent people of Iraq who got all dead, more than a million of them, thanks to George Bush. Got to look forward and not back, because it was about trying to acquire and maintain political power,
right?
And prosecuting George W. Bush, and more importantly, I think Count Dicula would have theoretically energized the Republican base, so that Obama would have never. See, that's the early thing, so that he would have never had a chance to get his legislative agenda through. Of course, he never had a chance to get his legislative agenda through, so it's a wash.
No, I really believe the power elite, they said, because remember, these are all political clubs. You can't get in just because you're popular, unless they let you in. So they knew that Hillary would lose against Obama. At the end of the day, I knew that. Look at all these different prongs they had in this stake. We're the stake, and they've been poking us. Gerrymandering, electoral college, vote rigging, fucked up voting machines, you know. So, anyway, you set her up against him. That's a no-brainer because, she was definitely going to win in the North. But down here, are you kidding? That's a no-brainer. So, all right, so he wins, and then he won two terms. That really, they knew it was going to be a backlash.
You know, I saw a comment just on a buddy's thread the other day of some maggot responding to him saying, well, you might as well live with it, buddy. It's going to be another 6.5 years. The maggots have already awarded him a second term that they don't even think he needs to run for. It's de facto. It's as read.
Privilege. It's privilege.
You know, I just got a note from Darcy saying, people need to fucking wake up. I really think America's headed for real trouble. If we're not in the real variety yet, I'm terrified of what real is.
Listen, the best jobs around, you think in these little towns, like working in the prison is going to be the job? Everybody's going to have to be a jackboot. Either going to be with the jackboots or you're going to be part of the problem. I mean, that's where we're going. This is obvious to me. This is what I see. So, I don't know, you know, we're going to have to make some decisions around here because that's what I see. These people move fast. You see, Harry, they already made preparations to make money on those concentration camps. That wasn't no accident. Listen, let me tell you something. I mean this. If they had a chance, they would take some depleted jet fuel, that old jet fuel that you can't use, that's expired, and they would just dig a trench with a little bulldozer, throw those kids in there and set fire to it. They may as well. They don't give a fuck. And I'm not trying to be crude, but, I mean, obviously, they don't give a fuck. And you saw that look in that man's eyes, in Jefferson's eyes. You saw that look. He loved that shit. He loved every second of saying that. So, you know, it's just manifest destiny, man. It's taking back over. And, You know, I don't know what to say, but with the politics, this is wrong.
But you and I both know that's why you, whatever it is you do to calm you down or to get you in your happy place, it's what you have to do. I'm sitting here. You might even hear the rustling. You hear that? That's a Ziploc bag opening up, Todd. Hang on here. You know what those are?
Chips.
No.
What?
That is a big old Ziploc bag full of homemade, home-smoked chipotles.
No.
Yes. I used a bunch of jalapenos and a whole bunch more of serranos.
Mmm.
And I held the fire at about 130, 150 degrees. It never got over like 180.
Yeah, you made sure of that.
And I almost smothered the charcoal fire with dry hickory.
That's what I thought that was chicory hips.
And that thing just belched hickory smoke for hours. And
wow.
And so I'm going to keep doing them. Do a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And then, like, for making barbecue sauce, get this.
Right.
You know, you know how I feel about sweet, gooey barbecue sauce. Just blech.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm going to get some pickle juice from my buddy over at Secret Sandwich, because they make their own pickles on the place. And I'm gonna heat it and dissolve some mustard in it, yellow mustard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm gonna take a serrano and a jalapeno, and I'm gonna put it in that thin stuff, and let the little bastards rehydrate, and infuse that pickle juice with all that hickory wonderfulness. And hell's own fiery heat. And then I'll tinker with it with the spices and the herbs and the seasonings till I got it just right. And then I'll thicken it just a little bit. And I'll use that to mop ribs and butts and briskets and chickens.
Oh shit. Oh, well, they're all like sweating and they're sweating while they're smoking, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man! Oh, shit! What a plan! Oh my God!
Yeah.
Oh man! You can't do that. That's terrible! Don't do that.
And I've been thinking about just kind of making this an ongoing project until I've got an absolute ton of them, and maybe giving them away giving away little jars, little sealed baggies of homemade chipotles come holiday time.
Yeah, that whole visual sounds delicious.
I wish this was smelladio, because the smell, because it con, you know, there are sugars in those peppers, in those chilies.
Mm-hmm.
And that slow drying process and the smoking process makes them just crinkle up to nothing, and it concentrates those sugars so that you actually, if you taste one, you get this little smoky, caramelized kind of sweet, and then the bite comes on. And it's, oh. But see,
that sounds like something nice to have around while you're sipping beer and just, you know, watching the game or whatever.
Oh, no. Well, see, there's another plan, too. I noticed the other day at the store that it's a miracle because it's West Virginia, but they have fresh tomatillos.
First what?
Tomatillos.
What is that?
You know, they're the little green tomato looking things. They got kind of a papery husk on them.
Oh, yeah.
So
the Mexicans, right?
Yeah. Okay. So get a bunch of those and hickory smoke and fire roast those, not to the point of being dried, but just till they're nice and smoky, and mushy.
Yeah.
And mushy. Mash those suckers up in a bowl.
throw in some finely minced garlic and onion, chop in a couple of those chipotle bad boys, and then because I've also got some poblanos, hold them over a busy open flame until the skin blackens. Then you throw those suckers in a brown paper bag, leave them alone for about 30 minutes, and then rinse them with cold water, and the skin just falls off, and you got none of that beautiful fire-roasted pepper pulp. Chop that shit up, put it in there, and have the most bodacious salsa verde this side of Oaxaca.
See, that sounds like a mole almost. I think we talked about a mole once. It comes in a jar. It's like a spread.
Yeah.
It's like pureed kind of.
Right. Yeah, and you mix it and you thin it out with chicken broth. Yeah, there's a green one made out of pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, if it wasn't for food, just wonderful, wonderful food. I don't know what we would do.
That's how I get off. That's how I get off the ledge, Todd. Oh, and news, breaking news. I told Asa about this. The fine folks at Char Griller of Sea Island, Georgia, have upped their game.
Uh-oh.
They now offer, for the low, low price of $629, a ceramic acorn.
No shit.
Yeah, no shit.
Okay.
I mean, that ain't going to happen, but still, you know.
That's kind of steep, but I get it. It's not, I mean, that's a big deal to make that ceramic. I get that. But wait a minute. $629 versus what irritated me last.
$629 versus $1,500 or $2,000 for a big green egg or a Kamado Joe. Yeah.
Knockoff that just looked green on the outside, you know, like it was a facade. And it was nothing to it. It was just like, oh my God, you can't be serious. It was $270, something like that. Well, anyway, it wasn't even close. But yeah, acorns got it on, got it going on.
Well, I mean, I'm just finding, just to give you an idea. So after I got done with the Chipotles, I still had some charcoal burning and some coals in there. So I opened up the damper and the flue and let that sucker breathe and come up to temperature, and I put the pizza stone on because we got this pizza joint over in Fayetteville that comes as close to New York pizza as you're going to get in this state. I mean, it's very similar. I won't offend any New Yorkers by saying it. It's not the same, but it's very similar. And they call themselves Big Damn Pizza because it's a big damn pizza. The pizza box is a yard by a yard. That's how big the pizza is. Yeah.
Oh, that's Big Sicilian. That's a Big Sicilian.
No,
pizza.
It's not Sicilian. Okay. It's a New York style crust. I mean, it's.
Oh, it's New York style, but it's square though.
No, it's not square. It's a round pizza in a square box, like any pizza.
Oh, but it's okay. That's a big ass pizza.
It's huge. So we get one of those, and we can eat on it for 3 days.
Eat on it.
One slice is a meal. So I got.
I'm not laughing.
No. So I let the grill get hot again, and Agnes carried a slice out and just did it New York pizzeria style. Just took that slice and laid it on that preheated pizza stone, closed the lid, and walked away. Oh, mother.
That's the good stuff there. And it's so hot where nothing sticks. It just slides.
It just slides off, and the goddamn thing was hotter than the interior of the sun. And there it is on the way out the door. It's Brett Kavanaugh, the guy who helped to write the Star Report and who believes that you absolutely cannot indict a sitting president. Surprise, 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 Sergeant Carter. Now does everything that I just said for the last hour make a little more sense?
Yeah. Well,
I know.
But now we find out. Now we find out how committed to the rule of law the Senate is. We know that a whole bunch of Republicans aren't. We know that some of them are so uncommitted to the rule of law that they spent the 4th of July in Moscow playing footsie.
See, that's when the program started cutting in and off on, because I feel like, for me, this is just me. I hadn't even bounced this off to anyone. I feel like that's the biggest story that's happened in the past 6 months, to me, in light of what's going on. Now, am I crazy?
No. Can you imagine if during Reagan's evil empire period, can you imagine if seven Democrats had gone over and sat down with the Duma and the foreign minister and by the way, John Kennedy of Louisiana said he got what's the phrase here? He got right testy, because, you know, he's from Louisiana and all. He got right testy with that smart-alecky minister of theirs over there in Russia. Yes, sir, right testy with the wise-ass foreign minister. You know, Sergei Lavrov, the guy that got invited to the Republican National Convention.
It's just so, you know, the whole thing is stinking. And honestly, I'm having trouble getting beyond the Attorney General, because he's obviously perjured himself in writing.
The one nice thing is that motherfucker can be indicted.
I think he's. Somebody's going to talk to him.
You can start with perjury before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
That's the starting point.
That's open and shut. I said it when it happened. That's the easiest get of the entire investigation. It's self-proving.
I would think so. You know, I would think so. Just as, you know, a legal layperson, of course. I mean, when you look at what the law reads.
Yeah, and I'll throw you out one more thing. Assuming Kavanaugh gets promptly confirmed. The court that issued the ruling that said William Jefferson Clinton, by God, had to answer his subpoena. Is not this same court. And while John Roberts at his confirmation hearing said that he was just going to call balls and strikes, he has proven himself more than willing to throw precedent out of the window. Look at the way the Janus case threw a boot out the window.
So the
Supreme Court case that held that a president can be compelled to answer a subpoena, John Roberts can see that overturned in the bat of an eye.
Is this one big joke on us, on the regular folks? Because you had to bring that case up, and it's been gnawing at me. You know, Janus is that two-faced coin.
Yep.
The fuck is that, man? What the fuck is that?
The goddess of irony doesn't take naps. She's always paying attention. But, you know, as they say down to the track, the fix is in.
It's not fun.
Man, it's banana. It's banana peel in the fifth at Hialeah.
Well, Bob's doing a great job, and so everyone, please contribute when and where you can.
Thank you, Todd.
Know where the website is. You're welcome, and I think I've been slacking on my duties, but...
Nah.
Wait a minute. You know what? I have to say this. I want to say hi to Salinar and, you know, Scott, the whole family, and I don't hear... And I caught that one conversation you had with... hung like Jesus. It was the only time I ever heard him call in. It was really interesting.
Oh, he's been through two or three times. I think he stays kind of busy, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was really good. And Mrs. Baker, you know, everybody loves her.
They let her back through the Mexican border. I'll have you know.
Oh. You know, that's a whole nother. Oh my God, what's gonna happen to us? We can't go anywhere. Nobody wants us. Shoot.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, what was that quote that Jim read a week or so ago about leaving Germany naked if necessary?
Whew. We're about to see some crazy stuff. These people are salivating.
And it just got real interesting. I'd be real curious to be a fly on the wall in Mueller's office about now. Todd, we got to get out of here, though. It's been a great conversation, my friend.
You too, Bob. Thanks a lot, man.
Oh, thank you. It really was. It was a great conversation. You take care now.
Okay. Later.
Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina standing. Yep, that's the program. We ran over a little bit. Been doing that lately. It's hard to turn off the mic when there's stuff that needs to get said. Maybe by tomorrow I guarantee you the for-profit media will have us up to our eyeballs in Brett Kavanaugh news. And, well, it's getting a little... It's getting a little creepy, fundraising-wise. We're at $480 to go to finish this evening. Be $680 by tomorrow. And, we'll see what the next day brings. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of you who do manage to keep the program on the air. Thank you so very much. Thank you this evening to Steve and Ms. Karen, and little Cletus and little Twiggy. And thank you to Jack at Shreveport. Thank you. And again, thanks to Rusty for the help over the weekend. That was huge. It's all huge. Thank you to all of our subscribers. Thank you so very much. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this little ongoing conversation. Thank you so much to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky and Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.